Thank you very much, Bill. It's a pleasure to be back at LCA, one of the most vibrant conferences going. Now, this particular presentation lies at the intersection of two significant movements. On the one side, we have the free software movement and the very closely related but distinct open source movement. And on the other side, we have the accessibility movement, which is concerned with ensuring that software, electronic documents and information, to use that rather bland term, is as accessible as it can be to people with disabilities, and indeed to everybody universally. In fact, people speak of universal design quite often as much as they do of accessibility, especially in the research community that thinks deeply about these matters. Now, to be more specific about this, what I'd like to discuss today is a series of developments that have taken place in recent years, culminating with the release of Firefox 3 by Mozilla, that have made Mozilla Firefox accessible to people who require speech or braille user interfaces using the Orca assistive technology under Linux. I'd like to begin with something of a historical introduction. The early developments in this area were carried out in the early 1990s in a project that was then called the Mercator Project and later came to be known as the Ultrasonics Project. I discussed it briefly in my LCA presentation last year. And essentially what happened was that various researchers centered on the Georgia Institute of Technology were interested in the question of how you make graphical user interfaces operating under the X Window system accessible to people who required screen readers, that is, software that creates a parallel braille or speech-based user interface derived from the user interface of the desktop environment and the running applications. The first discovery which they made, and they published papers on this, was that they weren't able to achieve a satisfactory solution by intercepting the X protocol, and they realised they needed to develop something at a higher level, namely at the level of the user interface libraries which implement all of the various objects that comprise a typical graphical user interface. And they decided to modify those libraries and to introduce support for what eventually came to be known as an accessibility API, an API that provides to an assistive technology, which can be a screen reader or an on-screen keyboard or any particular access technology required by a person with a disability, a hierarchical structure, a tree of objects which represent the desktop and the running applications, together with all of the user interface components of those applications. And this was the approach which was introduced by the Mercator project, and which was later developed by central participants in that project and people who were involved in the accessibility community at the time, in particular Peter Korn and Willie Walker, who went on to work with Sun Microsystems, who implemented this in Java, and then they turned their attention in more recent years to the GNOME desktop. And that's where they implemented it in an architecture that I'll describe shortly. The reason why this is of interest for present purposes is that it's this accessibility solution that was developed for GNOME that Mozilla then made use of in enabling Firefox 3 to be accessible under Linux. And so that's what we'll be demonstrating and discussing in detail today. And so we basically have two central components of the accessibility side of things. I think you could call it three if you want to include the assistive technology. Basically, there's a library called the Assistive Technology Toolkit, ATK, which operates in process in the running application, and it's a library that people who are writing user interface widgets and applications need to write to in order to ensure that their software is accessible by this technique. And then there's a second component which is called the Assistive Technology Service Provider Interface, the ATSPI, and that actually, when you start the GNOME desktop, runs a daemon process that operates in the background, and it acts as an interface that handles all of the inter-process communication between the desktop environment running applications on the one side and your assistive technologies such as the Orca program that I'll be discussing shortly on the other side. And there's a component called the ATK to ATSPI bridge that handles all of the inter-process communication, which at present is a complex matter involving Corba, Bonobo, and such very known specific matters. There'll be a version of it coming out at some point that implements all of this in DBus, and there are developers working on it at the moment. So I won't say much in this presentation about inter-process communication, because at some point in the future all that will become obsolete. Now, so we have this inter-process communication going on, which allows the accessibility object tree that I was talking about earlier to be made available to assistive technologies, which then create the alternate user interface. And in particular, we're talking about Orca here, which actually supports three user interfaces: Braille, using a refreshable Braille display device, synthetic speech, and large print, so it can actually enlarge the screen display. I won't be demonstrating that particular aspect of it, as I haven't set it up and I'm not greatly familiar with the details of it. But anyway, Orca is actually implemented in Python. It was developed at Sun, principally, and it's now a standard component of the GNOME desktop. All of the software which I'm going to demonstrate today is available from your local Linux distribution. In particular, if you're running Debian or Fedora or Ubuntu, then it should be not only available but basically working. So Orca is a fairly large Python program, and what it does is to establish itself. It sets up all of the low-level interfaces to the GNOME speech services and to the Braille TTY software that drives the Braille display, and then it registers itself with ATSPI, which I described earlier. It registers itself to receive events, and the final step in its initialization process is to invoke the ATSPI event loop, at which point everything is all function calls that take place whenever events occur. Now, the way Orca is designed, all of the specific details about how it handles such things as keyboard events and accessibility API events generated by running applications, all of this is controlled by scripts, which are specific either to the application or to the user interface library which is being used in the application. And so in this particular case, we'll be using it with Mozilla Firefox, and therefore there's a Gecko script written in Python that handles all of the interactions with Orca regarding Mozilla applications. That script, by the way, is about 700k of Python, so it's fairly complicated. I think you'd call that a fairly large Python script, wouldn't you? But
part of the auto-generation.
No, it's not. It's all written. So and to get to the point of this, then, the script, actually the scripts for specific libraries such as Gecko are actually a subclass of a default script, so some of the functionality is inherited. And anyway, what happens is that an important function that Orca carries out is to keep track of what they call the locus of focus. So whenever the focus changes from one user interface control to another, Orca is notified through the ATSPI events, and then it's able to make some queries to find out what the object in focus is and what its state is, what kind of object it is, and it's able to provide its speech and Braille interface according to the code in the script. That's basically how it works. And the way in which it operates on the Mozilla side of things, well, I haven't actually looked at the code. Mozilla's rather complicated after all. Mozilla implemented their own internal accessibility API. And the reason for doing that is that they also want to support the accessibility APIs of other operating systems. And so there's a rather complicated infrastructure that's been introduced into Mozilla by the developers to make all of that possible. So what happens then is that you get the speech and braille output that I'll be demonstrating afterwards when you invoke Firefox, both within its user interface and of the HTML pages. Caret navigation is used. So what that means is that if you want to run this when you invoke Firefox for the first time with Orca loaded, it's a good idea to turn on caret navigation. F7, as I recall, is the function key that will do this. And Orca is then responsible for controlling the caret, and that is due to some limitations in Firefox with their caret navigation support. Apparently there's some rather complicated and nasty code involved in it in Firefox that nobody associated with Mozilla wants to modify because of its complexity. So for that reason, it turns out that the Orca developers had to implement quite a lot of the extra support they needed themselves. And in particular, even though in general terms keyboard navigation is something which would be handled by the application, which is required to be handled by the application, in this particular case, Orca developers wrote a whole series of extra keystrokes and key bindings that enable you to navigate by headings and to move to previous and next list items, to move around by row and column in tables, to move to form fields, and so on. The idea is that we take full advantage of the structure of the HTML document in order to make it easy for the user who's relying on one-dimensional speech or a single-line braille display to navigate their way through the document. And so that's essentially how it works. I don't know whether we're ready to demonstrate this yet because someone was coming to hook a few cables together.
Yep, we're ready to go.
And if we're ready to go, I'll attempt to get this to work with the usual qualification that applies to anybody who's trying to do a technical demonstration, right?
I'll hold the mic for you.
Yeah, the qualification about we're not totally sure it's going to work right. What's going on? Looks like we're not getting speech at all.
Terminal desktop configuration file icon text.
We should be.
Web browser desktop configuration file icon text W. Orca screen reader / magnify frame preferences button. X / Nautilus / desktop frame web browser desktop configuration file icon.
Yes, it's all the audio is set up and it was working a few minutes ago, so.
77% finished. Held up Linux socket finished 100%.
There we go. Right, let's have a look.
table, times table, name column header, audio Saturday.
Can you ask it to read the page or do something?
Welcome to LWN.net logo link image.
Let's have a look.
Open file, files table, name column header, audio Saturday.
Where are we now? We've lost. Let's have a look. Open a file.
Open file, files table, name column header, audio Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. So we want to be in LCA.
Files table. Name column header, mail Saturday.
We were on something, I don't...
You're still on the file.
This is not good.
/Nautilus/desktop/frame, web browser desktop configurate. Loading.
This might be a bad adapter, maybe.
Let's try that. Trying to get it to get us into
Try now, please.
Yeah, it says something about loading, and it's trying to load something. I don't. What? Oh.
Yeah, that's okay.
Got me to log right out and.
I'm not sure why it's not working.
Why don't we just use the put the microphone? That's what we'll do.
/desktop frame. Goodbye.
What did you get?
Let's have a look. Let's run X again.
Oh, they're just under the front here, aren't they?
Yeah. Welcome to Orca Screen Reader /Magnify/Frame Preferences button. /Nautilus/Desktop. Web browser desktop configuration file. Welcome to About colon. Page. Iceweasel link image. Edit it. Files table.
It hasn't triggered the data out of
It should be loading now.
Should be, but for some reason.
Location colon text.
Page,
file not found, heading level 1.
Sorry about this. I've done this several times before and it all works. I don't know what's going on. I'll try the file once again.
Okay, button.
Let's get right out of that.
Okay, button.
Okay, I'm going to do /home/json/lca/index.html. There we go. So this is the page that has all the author key bindings on it that I'll just bring up. I hope. Why is it not doing that now? There it goes. I think we're getting a document here anyway. This is the document we're talking about now.
Status of this document,
heading
level 2.
So I'm going through the document by heading.
Contents, heading level 2. 1. Introduction, heading level 2.
I can jump to the first table.
Characteristics, colon, table with 5 rows, 2 columns, characteristic.
Okay.
Is abstract, colon, 2.
And I can actually move around the table.
Beginning of row. Value 2, row 2, column 2. End of row. Blank, row 3, column 2.
Well, I can move around the table cells.
using those navigation keys. They're the ones that were defined by Orca itself. Given all those problems, I'm going to move straight into the next part of the discussion. Let me. I'll get back and see if I can get back in the room. If not, file again.
Open file location colon, text checkbox dot html. Finish loading, page loading, try again button. Finish loading, page.
Sorry?
With default text in the text box.
Yeah, is it not address you the interface
with it? Location text file colon slash 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 home. Open file location colon text checkbox dot html.
Let's see, I could actually go into that one in a minute, but we'll sort this out in a moment. Let me explain the second part of this. I'd like to introduce the ARIA specification. And as I mentioned in the abstract to this presentation, there's a common theme that runs through this, which is the idea of an accessibility API. And I wish to explain how this concept has been applied to make JavaScript-intensive web applications and websites more accessible. These are also implemented in Firefox 3 and works with the Orca assistive technology, and so after this discussion I'll try to get that running, which it should work. Now essentially, with regard to web applications that implement their own user interface components using JavaScript, we have the same kind of problem that I described earlier with making user interfaces under the X window system accessible. And the difficulty is that, as I'll show at the end, when we look at the source code for one of these examples, JavaScript user interfaces often don't use the standard HTML components that you would find in an HTML document, the form controls in particular, and they implement their own user interface components using JavaScript. With HTML that typically involves a lot of span and div elements with various attributes that are manipulated with JavaScript. And so the question arises as to how an assistive technology can find out what's happening in the user interface, given that the HTML document doesn't supply that information in the semantics of the HTML elements. And that's one of the central problems which the ARIA specification of the W3C was designed to solve. Basically, there are three types of difficulty which ARIA is intended to address. The first is the one that I just mentioned. The second is the lack in HTML of certain kinds of structures. So, for example, unless you're using XHTML2 or the HTML5 draft specification to implement your web content, you can't in any standard way specify where the navigational links are at the start of a web page so that somebody who's using Braille or speech-based navigation can move past them or jump straight to them. And that's just one illustration of the kind of structure which is common on websites as they're actually written, which HTML 4.01, and that's still essentially the same standard that's in use today, in spite of being 11 years old now, doesn't accommodate. And so for that reason, we have extra attributes in ARIA to do this. I should mention that ARIA is basically an extension that can be consisting of attributes which can be added to a document in any markup language, a host language such as HTML or XHTML, potentially SVG and other markup languages can be supported. And the idea is that you add these special ARIA accessibility attributes to your HTML document, and you make sure that your JavaScript code changes them as required in order to inform the assistive technology what's going on. So the third kind of problem that I should mention, which ARIA is intended to address, is solved by a feature known as ARIA Live Regions. And to illustrate the problem, I think it's quite a good example. I didn't bring the example because it would take a bit long to demonstrate, but basically, and also it's a bit difficult to get out of it once you're in it. But the University of Manchester have a very nice test page, and I think this one's a really good illustration of the problem. And it was designed as a test for various assistive technologies to find out how they handle web pages that include JavaScript, which updates the page after it's been loaded. And so the particular case is one in which they have a textual description of a cricket match. And they update the cricket scores and various information dynamically as it progresses. And what happens is that the assistive technology can't determine when the updates have stopped. It has trouble keeping track of the focus. It doesn't know whether to read the updates or not, so by default it reads out everything all the time as it changes, which makes it very difficult if you want to browse through the document because of all the updates coming through continually. And so we need a mechanism to prevent that kind of problem from occurring. Obviously with deletions there can be a problem as well. If you actually use some JavaScript code to delete an element from an HTML document, then the assistive technology will receive deletion events. So it gets notified through the accessibility API that some deletions have taken place in the document object model of the document, but there's no way to determine when they're finished or how significant they are, or whether they should be notified, whether the users should be notified of them. And so the feature known as I said, ARIA Live Regions, which is designed to allow additional attributes to be supplied that control the behavior of the assistive technology when JavaScript applications start making changes to the document. So with those kinds of features then we have a facility which provides us with the equivalent of an accessibility API for the web for JavaScript applications that are implemented in a combination of JavaScript, CSS and some version of HTML. And that's the kind of technology that's intended to make web applications as they've developed over the last several years more accessible. The problem itself, of course, is rather an old one. Back in the late 90s, we were talking about the problems of dynamic HTML. These days, people talk about the problems of AJAX. The industry terms have changed, but the underlying issues haven't. So it's a very good thing, however, that the ARIA specification is being standardized by the W3C, that Mozilla was the first to implement it, and that it works with the Orca assistive technology that we have operating here. Now, having explained that, there are a few residual issues that I would like to discuss towards the end of the presentation. Now, the first problem is perhaps a fairly obvious one, and it applies both to the general accessibility interfaces under GNOME and to the ARIA attributes that need to be added to HTML. And the difficulty here is that the author of the user interface library or the content or the web application actually has to supply the ARIA attributes and needs to make sure that they are modified appropriately when the states of user interface components change under the control of JavaScript, and when live regions are updated, and so on, in that particular case. And obviously that's a certain amount of work for authors. To some extent it's inevitable, but there are two directions in which solutions have been found to make it a little bit easier. The first kind of solution is that there are actually JavaScript-based user interface libraries. And some of these such as Google's Web Toolkit, which I think is under the Apache 2 license, and Dojo, however you pronounce it, D-O-J-O, which is one that accessibility developers at IBM have been working on. Both of these frameworks provide support for the ARIA attributes. So the idea is that if you use this standard in the interface components, then all of this should work. In the same way that if you use standard GTK components, then all of the non-accessibility infrastructure should work. So that's one way of solving the problem. The second solution, and I think if I understand it, TV Ram and Charles Chen, working at Google, were the first to implement this. And they've implemented it in a program that they call AccessJax. And the idea is that you can use JavaScript bookmarks or the GrissMonkey extension to Firefox to invoke this. And what they've done is to write some code in JavaScript that will determine which web page you're loading, and in particular we've implemented this for Google applications and for various other websites that make extensive use of JavaScript user interfaces. And the idea is that their JavaScript code, when the page loads, goes through the document and makes changes that add additional ARIA attributes and keyboard functionality to make the whole web application more accessible. So it's a JavaScript program that dynamically modifies the web content on the client side to improve its accessibility. And there are other interesting ways of developing this. So for example, you could have, obviously the JavaScript code to do this is hosted by Google, and that means it can be entirely independent of the website that has the user interface in it, and it could be potentially developed by the community. And as a result of that, we have a general mechanism by which people who are so inclined can make other people's websites more accessible. And you can imagine some interesting business opportunities for people who specialize in accessibility providing this kind of extension and this kind of functionality to clients' websites, as well as, of course, making those websites themselves more accessible. So that's how we try to get around the fact that these accessibility features need to be implemented in the web content itself. Now, there are a few more matters that I'd like to discuss before we close and we try a few more demonstrations. I was expecting the demonstration before to work correctly because I tested it several times, but you know what demonstrations are like. We'll see how the ones at the end go. But leaving that out of account for a moment, I'd like to mention briefly what's happening with KDE and WebKit, because those are both related. Obviously, WebKit is a descendant of KHTML, and if we're interested in software that can render web pages and which supports the document object model and JavaScript and all of the APIs that are necessary to make modern web applications work, then as far as Linux is concerned, the two free and open contenders are Mozilla on the one side and WebKit on the other. And so naturally the question arises of whether the WebKit developers are implementing this. And indeed, on the lab we're informed from the appropriate mailing lists that they are implementing it. It doesn't work yet, we can't run it yet, but they're planning to implement both support for ATK so that this will work with Orca, and they're also planning implementing support for ARIA. So WebKit has a great deal of catching up to do in this area, but evidently the developers are well aware of it and there are people working on it. Also, I should point out that when all of the accessibility infrastructure that I mentioned of ATK and ATSPI together with the Orca Assistive Technology are migrated to use DBus, then it will be possible for the accessibility support that's built into Qt to operate under Linux. And at that point there'll be a possibility with a great deal more work that KDE applications could become accessible. So if you're wondering why I'm focusing on GNOME on the one hand and Mozilla Firefox on the other, the very short answer to that is that they're the only combination that work. And we need to extend our appreciation to the excellent collaboration that has taken place between the Mozilla developers and the Orca and GNOME accessibility developers to make all of this possible. Because okay, so that's actually a good time to finish, because I've basically covered everything that I wanted to cover. And so what that means is that we can have some questions, and then I can try to run the demonstration of what happens when you get some JavaScript user interface components running with ARIA support and you try to access them. By the way, there are really two important reasons why people implement all of this in JavaScript. I think the main purpose of it is to be able to implement user interface components that aren't supported by standard HTML forms. And sometimes they want a degree of customization of the user interface controls that you can't get with HTML. So that's why so many web applications are using these JavaScript encoded HTML plus CSS frameworks to develop their user interfaces. So anyway, without further extending this discussion, I'd like to open it for questions, and then we can look at a few demonstrations of this technology at the end, and also in the interlude after the session, if people would like to ask questions while we disassemble all the hardware here, you're welcome to come and discuss it. So thank you very much for listening to the presentation side of it, and we'll continue as I've mentioned.
Right, we've got one already. We've got a question already. Because of the distance, though, I'm going to ask you to come halfway down, if that's possible, and speak into here with it, so we can all hear it.
Thanks. I was just going to ask, a recent discussion that came up on the Web Standards Group mailing list was how screen readers handle DHTML injections into the DOM tree. For example, when you're doing a form validation, you're typing stuff into forms, like, for example, a username. A lot of the glitzy new web applications like to check if that username is available and then give you an output automatically back. So the discussion was, how do screen readers handle this? And it seems like they don't do it that well. So the idea was to essentially wait until the entire form's completed, still spit back the injected errors or messages, but then also provide the same errors and messages on a page reload, as in when the form is actually submitted. Do you know anything about how well Orca handles DHTML injections into the DOM tree?
That's what ARIA is intended for. If you're making modifications like that, then you're interested in, at that point, you're interested in ARIA live regions. So that will work. How well it works if you don't provide support for it in your web content is something that would need to be tested. They're all interesting. I should say that Orca handles dynamically updating HTML documents. I've been told by the researchers at Manchester that their preliminary findings were that Orca was handling it better than some of the screen readers for that other operating system that have been tested. So that's a good thing for us.
Any other questions? Yeah. Sorry, one just here first. I think I'll get over there.
Yeah, I'm one of those web developers who's actually been asked to include in our next CMS one of those fancy widgets, in our case, for instance, for a calendar for what's on information. So, and I've had a look at the kind of HTML those things, the components generate, and they're pretty, just looking at them, HTML is horrible, so I can imagine what it sounds like to you when your screen reader tries to read it. I was wondering, do you have recommendations on the best way to do it, is just to have an alternative style sheet with just plain HTML for a screen reader, or is there some way to make those components usable for you?
You're talking about user interface components, right? Yeah. Well, that's maybe I wasn't clear enough in the presentation, but that's the sort of problem that ARIA is designed to solve. So if you look at the source code for
one of the examples that I have here, it's actually a whole lot of div elements, and there's JavaScript there which creates the user interface control, which is a checkbox, and the ARIA attributes are added to the HTML div and span elements, which inform the assistive technology that it's a checkbox and what its state is, and then the JavaScript updates the ARIA attributes when the state of the checkbox changes, so that the assistive technology is able to read that correctly. That's how it's done.
One more question here.
Yeah, just a couple of quick questions. Like everyone else, I like to write my websites to work in Firefox, but unfortunately the reality is a lot of people who are viewing their websites aren't enlightened and they're still using other browsers. It depends on your it actually depends on your industry vertical that your particular application is targeting. And I guess my question just was, do you know whether any of those other browsers are planning on implementing these sort of
APIs?
Yes. So WebKit is planning to implement it. I don't know how far they are down the road of implementing it. Opera, interested. Microsoft have an implementation in their very latest test release. I don't know how good it is because my interests are in Linux and not in other operating systems. But, so it looks like just about everybody that's writing a widely used implementation is either implementing it or planning to implement it.
Okay, thank you. Thanks very much, Jason. Well, have you got something else to show us, or we've got about 3 minutes left.
Okay. Well, maybe what we could do is, let's see how we go. I want to see if this is going to be any better behaved this time around.
You've still got three or four windows for saying about ice squeezing. The first one of which is the disk.
Yeah.
Is the welcome to LW page that you got up.
Okay.
That's we'll come and
was not
close those down.
To close the window?
Yeah, we'll get someone to just close that.
The high speed old rain bulletin.
It's actually ended up at Linux Weekly News.
I didn't go into that deliberately, so I don't know how that got there.
Okay. You've got an error about Mixer app that was part of your repeat. You need the Alto
to do. How's that?
Yep, you've got a clean list.
That's right. web browser, let's go into Firefox again. Now let's try opening that file again.
Open file location colon text.
So nothing in the text this time, so we're in luck. So let's. I'm going to give the.
EMO.
/ LCA / index. Yep.
Is it
called ARIA specification, which I'm going to do now?
Yeah.
That's again the checkbox example. This example is taken straight from the Mozilla website. So that says the checkbox is checked. And it's displaying on the bar display. Tri-state checkbox is interesting. It's a good example of why we implement why they implement this in JavaScript, because actually HTML obviously has no support for tri-state checkboxes. You can change the state of this checkbox. What I'd like to do now, if we actually get out of X, will you still be able to see what's going on, or do I have to stay? Let's see if we can try that.
Run application text enter a command string here to run its compiler pod.
Yep.
Are we out? We're into the console, and can you still see what's going on?
No, it's switched away from. If you ask it to output again to the what is it? It's Alt FNF7. Let me press that and see if we can get it to.
Yeah, we want to get from the console.
Yep.
Work?
No, I don't think so. I think you may have to run a console inside X.
Okay, I'll have to run a console.
What we might do,
yep,
is draw it to a close because we'll run out of time.
Yep.
I'll just make a comment too if I can.
Yep.
Okay, folks, we are actually running out of time, but I'd just like to say that in spite of the fact that Jason hasn't been able to put this latest thing up on the screen or let us hear it, I don't think that matters at all, to be honest with you, because the way he's explained this in such a concise and easy to understand manner, and his knowledge on this subject is unbelievable, I think it's been a fantastic presentation, and I'm sure you will all agree with me and like to thank him accordingly.